البيان راديو presents the following lesson from مسجد الأزهر بعمو.
ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Indeed, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek His help, His assistance and guidance in all things. He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is no misguidance for him. And he whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads astray, there is no guidance for him except for the will and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I bear witness and testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib al-Hashimi al-Qurashi was the final messenger and prophet sent to all of mankind. O you who believe, fear Allah as He deserves to be feared, and do not die except in a state of Islam, do not die except that you are Muslims. Amma ba'd. Last week, walillah alhamd, we were able to begin the commentary of the first hadith of the 42 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. We touched the surface of some of the virtues, some of the fada'il of the great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. Today's class, insha'Allah, we will focus on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before we start, although we read it last week, we'll just read the hadith one more time so that we all know which hadith we were covering, and for the brothers that are new and the sisters and the viewers, just to recap the hadith itself before we start its commentary. The first hadith of the 42 that we will cover insha'Allah, عن أمير المؤمنين أبي حفص عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله ومن كانت هجرته لدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. And the translation of this hadith, I know you all have a translation there, but it felt too old Shakespearean-ish for me, so I translated it. If anyone wants to make any ta'dilat, or if anyone just wants to listen to this translation, the meaning is the same, inshallah. It doesn't change the meaning, but the translation that I got here, indeed, actions are according to intentions, and for every person is what he intended. So the one who made his hijrah, migration to Allah and his messenger, then his hijrah, his migration, was to Allah and his messenger. And the one who made his hijrah, his migration for a worldly gain, or to marry a woman, then his migration is for what he migrated for. This hadith, subhanAllah, is one of the most important hadiths for every single Muslim to not just know, but to understand. Why is in it? There is a key of finding out whether the actions that we do in this dunya, whether they're accepted or not. First and foremost, this hadith is sahih. It's been narrated to us by all of the books, all of the main musannafat. And not only is it just sahih, this hadith, subhanAllah, is spoken about by our salaf, our pious predecessors, as being one of the greatest ahadith of Islam. Imam Ibn Hajar rahimahullah mentions in Fathul Bari that this hadith has widespread acclaim from the imma, the great scholars who honored and gave this hadith great importance. He then goes on to say that there is consensus, ittifaq, between Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi, wa Shafi'i, wa Ahmad ibn Hanbal, wa Ali ibn al-Madini, wa Abi Dawood, wa Tirmidhi, wa Darqutni, wa Hamza al-Kanani rahimahumullah, that this hadith is a third of Islam. Or some of them said that it was a fourth, and some of them said other statements, but they all agreed that this hadith is one of the greatest ahadith of this deen. Imam Ahmad, Imam Ahl Sunnah, he said, ثَلَاثَةُ أَحَادِيثُ يَدُورُ عَلَيْهَا الْإِسْلَامُ, that there are three ahadith that the entire religion revolves around. The entire religion revolves around him. And subhanAllah, all three of them are in this book, in the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi. But the first hadith that Imam Ahmad rahimahullah mentioned was the hadith of Umar, innama al-amal bin-niyat, that actions are according to its intentions. The second hadith that he mentioned, that we'll also be covering inshaAllah, is the hadith of Aisha Umm al-Mu'mineen as-Siddiqa bint as-Siddiq radiyallahu anha, the mother of believers Aisha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with her and her father. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa rad. Whoever introduces in our affair that which is not part of it, يعني, you're putting something in it that's new, that wasn't there before, then it is to be then it is rejected. Not that it is to be rejected, it's rejected. خلاص, يعني, ما في مجال. The third hadith that Imam Ahmad said that these are three of the hadith that revolve, the entire deen revolve around, is the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu an, إن الحلال بين والحرام بين وبينهما متشابهات. That indeed the permissible, what is permissible is clear, and indeed what is forbidden is clear, and between them are things that are doubtful. And we'll cover this hadith inshaAllah, and hopefully in a few weeks bi'idhnillahi tabarak wa ta'ala. And as I mentioned, that all of these three are in the 42 hadith of Imam Nawawi, showing you that he wanted to get all of the hadith that the imma have spoke about, that they had great importance and they covered the essentials of this deen. Shaykhul Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh, he says in his book Sharh Hadithi Innama al-A'malu bin-Niyat, yani he has an entire book that is a commentary on this hadith, the hadith that we're going to take. It's not a long book, but it was yani at least 60-70 pages. It's the fact that he had a book written for just this one hadith. But he says in this hadith that when the niyyah, the intention, is a foundation for actions, yani whether an act is to be accepted or not accepted, the Salaf used to like to begin their works with the hadith of Umar, innama al-amal bin-niyat. And this was in the beginning of the lessons and the beginning of their books. And one of the Salaf that we know who did this was the great Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen fil hadith, Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, in Sahih al-Bukhari. This is the first hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari. Just some of the virtues before we go into the hadith, just to know what was said about this hadith, why is this hadith so great? That's what is the statement of Imam Ahmad trying to show you, that these are some of the virtues of this hadith, that it is a great hadith that it encompasses almost a third of this religion. Now, before we go into the matan, before we go into the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I wanted to cover just one issue, because there is a very important issue of the isnad. Now this isnad, this hadith has come to us through many narrations. Various narrations have come to us with this hadith. However, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi and Ibn Hajar and others have said, but this is the quote of Shaykh al-Islam regarding the many narrations that came before, فَأَهْلُ الْحَدِيثِ مُتَّفِقُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَصِحَ مِنْهَا إِلَّا حَدِيثِ عُمَرْ بْنِ الْخَطَّابِ هَذَا, that the Ahlul Hadith are in agreement that none of the many narrations that have been relayed is authentic, is sahih, except the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an. And then he says, وَلَمْ يَرْوِهِ عَنْ عُمَرَ ابْنِ الْخَطَّابِ إِلَّا عَلْقَمَةُ بْنِ قَيْسِ الْلَيْثِ. And no one narrated this hadith from Umar radiallahu an except Alqama. And then he says, Shaykhul Islam, وَلَا عَنْ عَلْقَمَ إِلَّا مُحَمَّدِ بْنِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ التَّيْمِي. And no one narrated it from Alqama except Muhammad ibn Ibrahim. And Shaykh al-Islam says, وَلَا عَنْ مُحَمَّدْ بْنِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِلَّا يَحْيَ بْنِ سَعِيدِ الْأَنصَارِ. That no one narrated it from Muhammad ibn Ibrahim except Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari. Then Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says that وَرَوَاهُ عَنْ يَحْيَ يَحْيَ ibn Sa'id أَئِمَّةُ الْإِسْلَامِ. That from Yahya ibn Sa'id, the great imams of this deen narrated this narration. And it is said by some of the ulama that almost 200 scholars of this deen took from Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari, rahimahullah. Like the people that narrated this hadith specifically from Yahya ibn Sa'id, Imam Malik, rahmatullah alayhi, Sufyan al-Thawri, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Yazid ibn Harun, one of the teachers of Imam Ahmad, rahimahumullah. Why am I mentioning this? Is because this hadith is called, it's a type of hadith that is called a hadith that's ahad. A hadith that's ahad. Yani one companion giving it to one person, giving it to one person, giving it to another person, and from him it spread. It wasn't, yani the opposite of ahad is mutawatir, where it's jam'un an jam'. That it's like, say, 15, 20 companions giving it to 15, 20 tabi'een, and then like the whole chain. But this one is, yani, and anything that's ahad, it's not whatever isn't mutawatir. So if it's one companion, two companions, three companions giving it on one or two or three of the tabi'een, it's not like a big group. Why is this important? Is, and this is, yani, if we go into this topic, subhanAllah, it'll take a lot of time. And not just the class, it'll take a couple of weeks. But what I want you to leave here with is that if there is a hadith, and if it is sahih, then the people of hadith and the people of the sunnah do not look at anything else. They accept it as deen. Yeah? It is on us to take these ahadith and build our deen on these ahadith. If anyone says to you that we don't believe in certain aspects of this deen because it is from a hadith that are ahad. For instance, there are certain things like the adab of the qabr. There are certain people who deny, for instance, the Mahdi. There are certain people who deny, for instance, the scale on the Day of Judgment. There are certain people who deny the hold, the pond of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the reason that they deny it is because it came to us through a hadith that are ahad. Then when they do this, when they say these things to us, we ask them, why have you rejected it? And they say, because it's ahad. So we say to them, is it sahih or not? Yani, the fact that it's ahad doesn't necessarily mean that it's not sahih. It's just the fact that it just was related to us by a certain number of people. But it has no actual effect on the authenticity of the hadith. This, yani, is an innovation of Ahlul Bid'ah, people of desires, to reject sahih ahadith regarding key principles of belief and aqidah and things of the unknown. And they're very open about this. It's not something that's hidden. Yani, they'll openly say that we take a hadith ahad in fiqh, but in aqidah we don't. In aqidah, we don't take a hadith that's ahad. And they say, why? Is because if it's only one person on one person, or two people giving it, two companions giving it to one person, three companions giving it to another person, he says there's a chance. They say there's a chance that it's not the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we say to them that if the hadith had any chance, if the statement there, if there was any chance that it wasn't the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it wouldn't be sahih. Yani, to make something, the imma of Islam, yani the scholars of this deen, would not have said a hadith is sahih if there was a chance that it had some ambiguity in it, or a chance that it wasn't from the kalam of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it has conditions. It's not just you read the hadith and khalas, yani, it doesn't sound that great today, you know what I mean? It's fine. Maybe we'll move this on to another day. It's not like that. There are conditions. You look at the chain of narrations, and then you gather all the narrations that you have, and then you look, did everyone meet each other? Was there a chance of everyone meeting each other? What did they take from each other? When did they sit together? Yani, there is actual, it's a science of the Ahlul Hadith to see whether something is sahih or not. And for instance, if there is one hadith that goes against, yani, say 50 other narrations, yani, it becomes munkar or becomes shad. There's so many different types of ahadith that reasons that we reject ahadith of being sahih, but no one from the ulama of Ahlul Hadith and Ahlul Sunnah stated that if something was narrated by only one companion, it's a reason for a hadith to be rejected. Yani, for us as Ahlul Sunnah, that as long as the hadith is sahih, even if it's one narration, we have complete yaqeen that this is from the kalam of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we build our deen upon it.
And this is the position of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I hope this issue, because it's an issue that is prevalent in our community, of people rejecting certain types of aqeedah issues and things of the ilmul ghaib because of something that has no basis in the Quran and Sunnah. Yani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said one companion, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, to an entire country. One companion. And it was khalas. Yani when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent from when the ayat of Khamr came down, it was one companion who went around. And the Sahaba heard one companion, it's haram now. And they started throwing out their drinks. When the Qibla was changed, one companion, all the companions heard. Yani there was probably different companions sent to different places. But the companions who heard it, only heard one person. Mid salah, they changed their thing on one companion. So it's never been a thing in this Quran and Sunnah that if one person gives it to you, there's an ihtimal, maybe. Because the asl is that, yani we know that if a fasiq brings you khabar, if a bad person brings you khabar, then you have to go and do tahqiq. You have to do tahqiq, is that, yani from, is that khabar true or not? But the opposite is true. If you know someone is sadiq, you know someone is truthful, he's not a fasiq, then you believe in what he says. But inshallah, this is just one issue that I wanted to get. I just wanted to cover it before we go into the matan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the hadith, ahadith that are ahad. We accept as Ahlul Sunnah all the ahadith that are sahih, regardless of if they're ahad or mutawatir, in fiqh and in aqeedah. It's very important that we don't make a distinction in where we use ahadith and where we accept them and where we deny them. Anything that's sahih, that has a snad that is correct, and the matan is accepted by the salaf and from the ulama of Ahlul Hadith, then it is to be part of this deen without any hesitation. Now inshallah we'll delve into the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Verily actions are according to intentions. This means, يعني, actions are according to intentions. That a person is rewarded according to his intention. Good or bad, whatever his intention was, that is what his recompense will be. يعني the niyyah or the intention, it means, as Ibn Hajar rahimahullah mentions, azimatul qalb, what the heart has chosen. The niyyah is what the heart has chosen, what the heart has decided, what the heart wants. The place of the niyyah is the heart, which is different to the actions, which is the jawarih, which is the limbs. Yani this is something that's inside of you that no one can really see. Why is this important, that the place of the niyyah is the heart? Why is it important? Is because, and yani a differentiation between that the niyyah is in the heart and the amal is in on the actual limbs, is that, for instance, if someone says, I want to pray dhuhr, but I'm just going to stand here, I'm just going to sit here and I'm praying in my heart. It doesn't fly, it doesn't work. Right? The niyyah is in the heart, but the actions actually have to be carried out. Another meaning of this hadith, of this part, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, the first one is that a person is rewarded in accordance to his intention. The second meaning that it has is that an action, whether it is accepted or rejected, is dependent upon the intention. Yani if you're doing an amal, if you're doing an action, whether it is to be accepted or rejected is dependent upon your intention. The niyyah in the shara', in the Islamic texts, the intention usually means two things. When the word niyyah is mentioned in the texts, it usually means two things. The first, that it means muttajih lil-ibadah, right? The first is that the intention is directed to an act of worship. What does that mean? That when the fuqaha say that from the conditions of prayer is the intention, is that, for instance, when you pray your dhuhr, you're not intending to do hajj or you're doing psalm, or you have to be intending to pray that prayer. So in this text, in this time, whenever you read it, usually in the words of the fuqaha, the intention here, it means, يعني, it's specific to the ibadah. The second type of يعني, meaning that it has in the shara' is muttajiha lil-ma'bud. It's directed to the one who is worshipped. And usually it means ikhlas. Usually it's usually it's mentioned with ikhlas or has that meaning. Yani the sincerity, doing things sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this hadith covers both the types. It covers both the ibadah that you're going to do and the one that you're going to worship. Subhanallah. The a'mal that we talk about, yani innamal a'mal, amal is actions, and amal itself is anything that comes from the person, whether it's speech, whether it's i'tiqad, whether it's belief, whether it's the physical activity, it all comes under a'mal. But when we're talking about the niyya, what differentiates whether something is an ibadah or something isn't an ibadah? Yani when we're talking about an act, you could be doing two different things, and this is what the second part of the hadith, what it covers. How do you differentiate when is something ibadah and when isn't something ibadah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, wa inna ma likulli imrin ma nawa. For every person is what he intended. Yani every person who does any action will get a recompense. Yani you're gonna get something. You're gonna get something of whatever you do. But if you do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping for the reward in the next life, then inshallah your action is accepted. But if you did it for the dunya, then your action is rejected because you didn't do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there are different scenarios when it comes to the niyyah, specifically in ibadah. And some of this is very heavy. Nas'al Allah salam wa al-afiyah. Some of these are very, very dangerous. Is when, yani, inshallah, there's a few scenarios. I think there's maybe four scenarios. Of what types of scenarios can there be with the actual intention? The first type is that of a munafiq. Nas'al Allah salam wa al-afiyah. Not a believer. Is that the intention from the beginning is for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing in it except other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani for instance, he comes to a place and only prays because other people are praying. He doesn't have wudu, wala shi, yani he's just coming in, praying for nothing in there is going, this is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is for the sake of everyone else. I can't be the guy that didn't pray dhuhr and everyone's praying dhuhr, what am I going to do? It's what a fadiha. Yani for them, yani there are certain times this happens. And the danger of this, wallahi, the danger of this is mind-boggling. Wallahi, yani not only is salah batil, it's rejected, but he actually has committed shirk. He has actually committed shirk. Nas'al Allah salam al-afiyah. How do we know this is shirk? The hadith of Shaddad radiallahu an, man salla yura'i faqad ashrak. Whoever prays with the intention of showing off has committed shirk. Yani the entire prayer, he didn't even enter the prayer except riya. Not a nuqta, not a single dot in his heart was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was completely riya, completely showing off. The second scenario is the scenario that the intention changes during the actual worship. Yani it wasn't, the first one is khalis li ghayrillah, like completely not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. The second type of the intention that's changing is the one that changes during the actual worship. The first, and this one has scenarios, come on. The first scenario is that during the worship, he changes the intention completely. Yani he starts the prayer completely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then his future father-in-law walks in. He actually says this is not for Allah. He actually has a mental conversation with himself and says this is not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is for now. I want to impress him. Nothing, the actual intention completely changes. This one takes the ruling of the first one. This one, yani he's not only has his salah is batil, right? But yani he's made the first niyyah batil and he's made his salah batil too. Yani he's done some, he's yani fallen in a very, very grave sin. The second scenario is something that now, that one even there, that one yani is tough. Like let's be honest, that one, the first one, yani sometimes that happens with juhal, right? But inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection that we don't fall in anything like this. But the first one, kaman, is very harsh. Yani to not have even a dot for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, completely for the sake of everyone else. It's a bit rough. The second one, even that, يعني, doesn't happen that often. That you're going in for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then in prayer you say, this is not for Allah, this is for him. This is for someone else. That's even that, يعني, inshallah, it doesn't happen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But the second scenario is something that happens. يعني, نسأل الله السلام والعافية, is he prolongs his prayer or his worship so that people can see him. يعني, he used to make 3 tasbihs and now the sheikh walks in, or يعني, someone he wants to impress, and now it becomes 9. He was planning to read قُلُ اللَّهُ وَحَدٍ and now he's reading a couple times. He doesn't. It happens. And so the scholars say, and there's يعني, اختلاف between the scholars, but inshallah, this position is, inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection. But this is one of the positions of يعني, some of the scholars, is that the extra bit that he did, that he prolonged it in, is batil. يعني, the extra, يعني, if he did 3 and now he's done 9, that 6 extra is rejected. But inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the asl, accept the ones that he used to do. يعني, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection in falling into something like this, because he's fallen into, inshallah, the asl of the prayer is accepted, but he has fallen into riya', minor shirk. Nas'al Allah salamu al-afiyah. And there's other types of times where the niyyah can change, for instance, and the scholars go into it, like for instance, after the effect. Yani, one was before, one was in the middle, and well, yani, there's another time where, for instance, someone memorizes the entire Quran. He did it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after, he starts liking people praising him. He likes يعني, people saying mashallah alayk, يعني, you got a really good, he enjoys the showing off part of it, and the intention changes then. يعني, the scholars talk about that as well. But يعني, we got a lot to cover, Allah understand, but inshallah we'll get to it. We all get the thing that everything has to be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is another issue with the niyyah, is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a reward with an action, can we do this action with the hope of seeking the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking His pleasure? Or should we only seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yani, for instance, the benefit of, for instance, building a house, building a masjid, is a house in Jannah. Okay, whoever builds a masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make for him a house in Jannah. Now, can I do, if someone does it, now the main thing that I want to cover here, just quickly before we have to move on to the next point, is if there were 2 people, and one did it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he wanted a house in Jannah, because who doesn't want a house in Jannah, يعني, let's be honest with ourselves. And the second one did it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the house in Jannah didn't even come to his head. He knew the thing, but it didn't come to his head. He did it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The scholars say that, of course, both are correct. There's nothing wrong. If he did it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wanted a house in Jannah, it's not incorrect. But the one who did it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone has a greater reward. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to do things for his sake alone. Another issue that comes in is that this hadith is talking about actions are judged or in accordance to the intention. Leaving off doing certain things is also an ibadah with the intention. If you don't do something, you avoid. It's not just doing things, it's also avoiding things that have been mentioned that they are sins. Yani, if someone wants to avoid, yani, has the temptation of doing something and avoids it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is also an ibadah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from falling into haram. The next part of this hadith goes into the hijrah. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَمَنْ هَاجَرَ the hadith, let me just get that up again. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِلدُّنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ امْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. The hijrah itself is tark, to leave something. In the shara', it means تَرْكُ مَا نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, to leave off something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. In Islam, there have been 3 hijras, and we're in the third. The first hijrah was the migration of the Muslims to Abyssinia, Habasha. The second was the migration to Medina up until Fatih Mecca. And the third hijrah is after Fatih Mecca till the end of time, where it is to leave a place to the Bilad of the Muslimin, to the lands of Islam. What is the intention that one has with the hijrah? That it is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, migrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, hoping for His reward, and migrating towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by following His sunnah and enjoying in what He brought. The second part of this hadith, so that was the first part, is an example the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used. يعني إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. This is the qaida, that actions are dependent upon the intention, and for any person who does something, he will have his recompense. And then Rasulullah said, فمن كانت هجرته, right? So he's giving an example explaining the qaida that he's brought. So whoever migrated for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get the reward of migrating for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whoever migrated for business or marrying someone, then he won't get the reward of migrating for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same action. They did the same action. They both went from, say, Mecca to Medina, the same time, same place, but different intentions and then different rewards completely. Nas'al Allah salam wa afiyah. There are so many things, yani, that are about the... Obviously, because marriage was mentioned, يعني there are certain things that were mentioned about the companion who was actually then called Muhajir Umm Qais, that he migrated for the sake of this lady, Umm Qais. But we don't really have time to get into the story of why he left Mecca just for this one sister, one of the Sahabiyat. But his lesson is a lesson for all of us, and inshallah that will be a reward for him till the Day of Judgment. But before we end the class, I wanted to leave off يعني, with one beautiful thing, and that's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, that actions are determined by the intentions. He didn't say that worship is determined by the intention. He said actions, anything, is determined by your niyyah. So you can make any action that you have that you're going to do into an ibadah. And that's something that we can all take on board easily, because you're already doing it, might as well make it an ibadah. So يعني, if you're working, the niyyah you can have, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm doing this for your sake, so I can provide for my family and my children. And I can uphold the rights that my children and my partner has on me. يعني, you're already going to work. Just have that in the back of your heart, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for every harakah that you do. If you want to sleep, if you want to eat, oh Allah, I'm nourishing the body that you've given me as an amana, so that I can have the strength to carry out the ibadah that you have ordered me to do. Yani certain things, very basic things, you sleep for 6, 7, 8 hours, you've translated all of that into ibadah. Instead of just being something that was mubah, not something that was a worship, you've made it into a worship. Anything you want to do, you can make it, but just it has to be with the ibadah, with the right niyyah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify our intentions and accept our deeds, forgive us our sins, and we ask you brothers and sisters and viewers to forgive us for taking so much of your time. يعني, we're trying to aim now bi-idhnillah to have it instead of having it 30 minutes to push it now from to 35 and a little bit over. So alhamdulillah, we were just on time. Walillah alhamd wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.